Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A bloody Christmas on the Adriatic, a plethora of parliaments for Ireland, and lighting up Russia. It's December 1920.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The Brussels Conference has closed with the victorious allies of that war establishing a 42-year timetable for German war reparations to France and Belgium. On the other hand, in his year-end report to the Allies, France's Marshal Foch, Commander-in-Chief of the Allied armies, has found that Germany has failed to comply with its disarmament obligations under the Treaty of Versailles. Although it has dismantled certain fortresses and reduced its regular army, the Reichswehr, to 100,000 men, the German government has made no attempt to disarm its militias in eastern Prussia and Bavaria. Marshal Foch also says that German factories are continuing to manufacture and export munitions worldwide. Night, the stars are brightly shining, but that may just be rocket fire. On Christmas Eve, the Kingdom of Italy launched its so-called Natale di Sangue, Bloody Christmas campaign against the state of Fiume on the Adriatic coast, where the poet Gabriel D'Annunzio has proclaimed himself leader of the so-called Regency of Canaro. Italian warships continue to bombard the city of Fiume in order to force out D'Annunzio and destroy his so-called regency. Let those bells ring out, the train bells, that is, on the first ever direct railway route from the Imperial Metropolis in London to British India. Following an agreement at San Remo between the governments of the French Republic and the United Kingdom, the British have been granted an easement across the desert of Paris's new League of Nations mandate for Syria and the Lebanon. This last piece of the puzzle gives Britain a direct land route to India as soon as they build a new railway line from the Mediterranean Sea in Palestine to connect with existing British lines in Mesopotamia and Persia. The 8th All-Russian Congress of Soviets of Workers, Peasants, Red Army and Cossack Deputies is underway in Moscow. The Congress has adopted what economist Gleb Krizhanovsky calls a 5-year plan to restore the Russian economy. The plan's priority is stated in its acronym. The Goluro plan stands for the Gosudarstvelaya Elektrifikasi Rossi, the State Commission for the Electrification of Russia. More electrifying news from Kharkiv, capital of the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. Representatives of the new pro-Bolshevik Ukrainian state and Soviet Russia have signed the Workers' Peasant Union Treaty, which appears to put both the Ukrainian military and the Ukrainian economy under the control of Moscow. In Baku, things have not gone well for Major General Habib Bey Salimov. He was the first chief of the general staff of the Azerbaijan Democratic Republic. But then the Bolsheviks took over and proclaimed a new Azerbaijan Soviet Socialist Republic. The chief of the general staff declined to cooperate with the Bolsheviks, so they have now executed him by firing squad. Against these trends is a setback for communism in the Balkans. The Kingdom of the Serbs, Croats and Slovenes has issued a decree banning the Communist Party of Yugoslavia.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
That's all this racket about.
Merry Christmas!
By jolly, you're right. Merry Christmas, Marianne.
It's the same to you, Pat.
Well, come on now, children, and we'll all see the Christmas tree. There it is. Oh. Hey, Marianne, there's one thing I like about a Christmas tree.
And what's that?
The color of it.
Oh. What's that thing Danny's playing on?
That's a Jew's hat.
A Jew's hat? Take it away from him.
Well, it wasn't exactly Christmas morning at Clancy's, but on the morning of Christmas Eve, Ireland woke up to the news that it would be getting two new parliaments, one for Northern Ireland, one for Southern Ireland, with the Government of Ireland Bill having received royal assent from King George V a few minutes before 12 o'clock the night before, and becoming law at the stroke of midnight. In a speech upon the prorogation of Parliament, His Majesty declared that the state of affairs in Ireland grieves me profoundly. I deplore the campaign of violence and outrage whereby a small section of my subjects seek to sever Ireland from the Empire. And I sympathise with the loyal servants of the Crown who are endeavouring to restore peace and maintain order under conditions of unexampled difficulty and danger. It is my earnest hope that all sections of the people of Ireland will insist upon a return to constitutional methods, which alone can put an end to the terrible events that threaten ruin. I sincerely hope that this act, the fruit of more than 30 years of ceaseless controversy, will finally bring about unity and friendship between all the peoples of my kingdom. Will there be peace for Christmas? 24 members of Sinn Féin, the Irish Republican Party, have been arrested in Clonduilleen, and the army seized one of the biggest ever caches of weaponry in Fermoy. With warrants for his arrest pending, the Sinn Féin leader Eamon de Valera is nevertheless reported to have returned from a tour of America and secretly made his way back to Dublin after being smuggled across the Irish Sea from Liverpool on the ocean liner RMS Celtic. He is rumoured to have been hidden in the cabin of the vessel's second mate. In the United States, a member of Company M of the Alabama National Guard has shot and killed Adrian Northcutt, an official with the United Mine Workers of America, who was leading the strike of coal miners at Nauvoo in Walker County, Alabama. Mr. Northcutt's son-in-law, Willie Baird, then in turn shot and killed the National Guardsman, James Morris. Mr. Baird has turned himself in to county law enforcement officials and will stand trial for murder. The unincorporated community of Plewaville? Anyway, the unincorporated community of Plewevillee, Texas, has changed its name at the request of the U.S. Department of the Post Office Because even though the Mason County community has fewer than two dozen residents, too many letters are misdirected due to the difficulty in spelling its name. The general storekeeper and postmaster, Eli DeChart, has decided to rename the place Art, A-R-T, after the last three letters of his surname. The U.S. Post Office may not know much about art, but they know what they like, and this new name suits them just fine. One of the largest ever underground evacuations has taken place after a loss of electrical power stranded 10 subway trains inside New York City's Montague Street Tunnel at 5,000 feet, by far the longest tunnel in the city's subway system. Many of the 10,000 passengers found themselves trapped underneath the East River between Manhattan and Brooklyn and forced to walk a substantial distance along the track to reach the shore and a stairwell to the surface.
Winter time is freezing time, teasing time and squeezing time. That's the time to love. With your lady love you go, skimming o'er the ice and snow, silver moon above. Hear the sleigh bells ring, hear them ding-a-ling. Winter, winter, when the snow is softly falling. That's the time to squeeze, when it starts to freeze. In October and November and December, just remember winter, winter. When your sweetheart comes a-calling by the fireside so bright, you'll sit and tease her. That's the time to squeeze her when it's winter.
Winter is the time to tease her and squeeze her, but there may be a bit too much of that in Arthur Schnitzler's play Regan. 23 years after Herr Schnitzler wrote the piece, it has received a belated stage debut in Berlin. The production is a work in 10 scenes of highly sexually active couples moving on from one partner to the next, starting with the whore and the soldier then progressing to a new relationship with the parlour maid, who in turn moves on to the young gentleman. Alas, these are not the gay 90s in Vienna, and Germans have strongly objected to the immoral and highly sexualized scenes on stage. In sports news, a record crowd has watched a ladies' football match. At Goodison Park at the Walton in Liverpool, 53,000 spectators turned out to see the Dick Kerr and Company Ladies Football Club defeat the St. Helens Ladies Football Club 4-0. Despite the huge attendance, many other football fans feel that seeing ladies kicking balls all over the pitch is almost as revolting as what the females are up to in that Arthur Schnitzler play. Still, there are rules for football now, both for association football and for variants such as rugby, and a lot of that was down to a man called Francis Maul Campbell, who played for Blackheath Football Club and played a critical role in the 19th century divergence of rugby union from association football. Mr. Campbell, having passed his more recent years as a wine merchant, has died at the age of 76. And that's the way of the world, December 1920.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.